Okay, let's say this was our Father. In the name of Jesus, we receive revelation knowledge that is found in the written word. Our eyes behold Jesus, even as we see Jesus in himself. He is glorified, even as we are edified. As the word is taught, this evening is Amen. Glory to God. So, we're starting a new teaching, we just ended pneumaticals, right? Are you pneumaticals?
Yeah, we're pneumaticals we're looking at.
So, I want to take us on the next few coming weeks, or what I try to, the Christian faith and material wealth. Your Christian faith and material wealth. And it's vital. Hallelujah. At such a time. Matthew 28. And verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority, that all power, that's what authority, has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go therefore and teach all nations. That word teach there is the word material, which is the word to make disciples. Teach all nations. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Hallelujah. So we say this original instructions from the Genesis, right? Jesus' instruction from the Genesis. And you know, Matthew will put it in such a way, and he said he focused on the discipleship aspect of that instruction, right? Hallelujah. I would say this will be instructions within the 40 days from the scriptures. Hallelujah. And it's very vital to see that pattern. Jesus will teach from the scriptures. Hallelujah. I remember I told us some weeks back that the Bible has patterns in it. You can call the Bible a book of patterns. Amen. You can call it a book of patterns. You won't be wrong. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Jesus follows the same pattern of the prophets before him. They will have to write from the prophets before them. Hallelujah. And everybody will write from Matthew. Everybody will write, Matthew from Genesis, from Moses. So Matthew also, in his write-up, which is the synoptic, he didn't write the synoptic as though he was writing the story of Jesus. He was writing Jesus' story, but he writes it from the Genesis. He writes it for you to see that scripture fulfilled. And that is how Jesus' story should be told. In Matthew 1:1, he gives us that same background that Jesus gave when he says, make disciples and we'll be reading from the Genesis. Hallelujah. In Matthew 1:1, he says, he calls the Bible, which is the scriptures, Genesis down to Malachi, he calls it the book of the genealogy of Jesus. He calls it genealogy of Jesus. And when you use the word genealogy there, he was talking about the Genesis. So he's telling you that what you have in the Genesis is not creation story. What you have in the Genesis is not the creation of the world. What you have rather in Genesis is the Genesis of Jesus. That's what he's saying there. He said, this is the Genesis of Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Hallelujah. So he set that pace for you from the beginning. So when he's writing about the life of Jesus, he's telling you, I'm writing the Genesis. That is, what I'm writing is the Genesis explained in the life of the man Jesus Christ within 33 years. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. In Mark also has the same. Mark 15, from verses 15, look at what he says. He says, he reads Jesus' instruction and he focuses on the preaching. He focuses on the entrance into discipleship, preaching the gospel. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. Mark that. He said, in my name they will cast out devils. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. So they will lay their hands on the sick and the sick will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere. Now, when they went forth and preached everywhere, where would they be preaching from? they will be preaching from the scriptures, Genesis down to Malachi. And Mark also gives us the same intro in Mark 1 to make you see that what he too is writing is not the story that they had in the world. Hallelujah. Well, not the story they had in the world. But rather, what he's writing to you is so that you would see that the story of Jesus is the story of the beginning. It says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So when he picks out the word Son of God there, that is Genesis 1. You see that? When he picks out Son of God there, you find that in Genesis 1, the image. When he picks out Genesis, Son of God, you pick out Genesis 5. And then he makes you see that very well when he says the beginning, Arche. Arche is that shade of word for Genesis. So he tells you, what I'm writing here is what the life of Jesus within 33 years as scripture explained. He's right. So what you will see in Mark's account that we might look at in the coming years will be the fact that he opens it up with the beginning, Genesis, and then he brings in the Son of God. So that means you will find Mark, what he's writing about Jesus, come on, you will see the similarity between what he said about Jesus within the 33 years and Genesis chapter 1, the Son of God in Genesis. You'll find that. That will be the fulfillment of it. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. Amen. So, remember I told you about sonship, and I said sonship is responsibility. So you will find Jesus on the assignment, or in the assignment of the Father from the Genesis. So you will see sonship explained in the 33 years. That's what you find. Amen. And take note, all of them will use the same word, son. So that means you will find the sonship of Jesus within the 33 years. Hallelujah. Something else you see in Luke. Luke is a bit different. Didn't mention, as it were, the way other writers will write and say, oh, writing from the Genesis. But he also did write from the Genesis because of what he says in verses 2. But let's look at what he says from verse 1. It says, for as much as men are taken in hand to set in order education of those which are most assuredly believe among us, even as they deliver them to us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses. See that? Hallelujah. He brings in that word okay again. And he calls the eyewitness, who? The eyewitness from the beginning. Hallelujah. Something you're going to find very, very useful as you get to study. Hallelujah. And in verse 3, he shows us the audience of one Theophilus. Meaning he's writing, he has an audience of one, a Gentile audience. Yet, he didn't change the approach. He still has it written from the scriptures. Hallelujah. The audience of one. And he also, in verses 44, he also makes you see that he's writing, verse 44 of chapter 24, he makes you see that he's also writing from the Genesis. Using the words of Jesus, he says, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled written in the law of Moses. He takes you back again to the Genesis. Hallelujah. The same background. Hallelujah. Remember, he said he's writing from the eyewitness account. And he called the eyewitness account the account of the eyewitness from the beginning. Isn't that from the beginning? That is to say, what they had as eyewitness was from the Genesis. Hallelujah. You need to see all this together. Hope you're following me. Okay, John. John 20:23 quickly. Hope you're following me. Okay. And he said to them, 22, to receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit are remitted, and whosoever ye retain are retained. Hallelujah. Now, also here, he gives them the same assignment of what? The same assignment of preaching the gospel, that he that believes will receive the remission of sins. Hallelujah. The same thing too will be instructions from the Genesis. And John also did it the same way. He says, in the beginning was the Logos. Did you see that? So he calls the person of Jesus, the word became flesh in verse 14. He calls him the Logos from the beginning.
How we are calling it?
The Logos. The Logos from the Genesis. So Jesus is the Logos in the Genesis.
How we are following it?
Hallelujah.
How we are following it?
Okay. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, every writer of scriptures, like I said earlier, have a duty of going back to read from the Genesis. So that is how scripture should be read. Look at
Luke 24:45. I see that for you. Luke 24:45. Jesus said, look at how
Luke summarized what Jesus did to them. He said, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend. That's the word synonymy.
That is the word Jesus did for them. Synonymy means to bring facts and events from different points together so that you can see it and read it together. Amen. So what Jesus has done to them within the 40 days was to read scriptures together for them. Hallelujah. And that is how scriptures should be read together from the Genesis. Hallelujah. From the Genesis.
Hallelujah.
Mark also shows us that, because in Mark 1:2, Mark goes back again to Malachi and then goes again to Isaiah. Oh, hope you're following that. So scripture should be read together. And that is how you know a serious student of scriptures.
You should read it together. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So that also applies to us today. A Bible student, and Jesus did also the same thing, taking you back again, Luke 24:27, he says,
they have known another prophet, he appointed unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. He did the same thing again in verse 25. The two brethren going on their way to Emmaus, he did the same thing to them.
He did the same thing to them. He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scripture.
He opened their understanding. That is the damn you.
Amen. Amen. Very vital for you to take. So that means the Bible student or the believer as an interpreter. Listen, because
it's just too obvious for you to see. It's very obvious for you to see that you have to be an interpreter of scripture.
Amen. It's just like it's just too obvious.
Hallelujah. You have to be an interpreter of scripture. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen. That's very, very simple though. Glory to God. The Bible student is an interpreter. An interpreter. Oh. And you must learn to read together.
Glory to God. I will just share something with you. Just very short. Most of us are already in women's class. I gave us other assignments and few of us responded
well, and those who do respond, if the Bible student as an interpreter, do you understand me? This is an interpreter.
You have to know.
Well, I shared Living Word Media with the person. Say, if you really want
to know, I will tell
you. Not yet.
But
not yet. Even. Stay far from me. Stay here. So, you are still far. Today you know, you just droplet. Anyway, I am the main one. Stay here. Glory to God. But it then shows us that we have a lot of work to do.
Matthew 28, and that leads us also. In Matthew 28:18, look at what Jesus said. He said, teaching them.
So, it makes you, when you use the word teaching, it shows you knowledge is very vital to the believer. It's very vital to the believer. And
if they see them, knowledge is vital to the believer, and it also tells you that the believer should be very, very critical when it comes to information. Especially about the law. Amen? Paul Shepard did this for us, and it's very vital.
I also say to us, as we get into Bible translation and Bible interpretation much more in the coming days, is the fact that as you get also and we get together as a church, now it's vital to note that your study of scripture is not to authenticate
or to prove whether you are saved.
No.
Okay, here it is. It's not to prove. How to prove whether I was really saved? No. In any scripture, any truth about God, in any truth about God that denies your sonship with God, or that puts it in that light of am I really saved or not, that is not a knowledge of Christ, or that's not a knowledge of the Lord. Okay, following me. That's not a knowledge of the Lord. Okay, following me. It's not of God. But what that when we study scripture is not to gauge whether we have faith or whether we are believers. No. Is to further know what the faith is about and to strengthen our work. Okay, following me. Amen. To strengthen our work. To further know what the faith is about. Hallelujah. It's not to discover whether am I really saved? No. When you get to that point, whatever thing you are knowing is false and not of God. Okay, anyway. And that is very, very vital for the believer. Amen. One way to throw out that knowledge you have acquired is wrong. Just throw it away. That is a quick test. A quick test for the kind of knowledge you acquired. Amen. Once you throw a dark light on your salvation, throw it away. Okay, believe me. Amen. Very, very vital. Very vital. So, when he's teaching them, it then means that critically, knowledge is important. It's important. Because the fellowship with God is to the intent or is inherent on your knowledge of Him. Your fellowship with God is inherent on your knowledge of Him. Very vital. Amen. It's very vital. You know what we read on Sunday, Matthew 22, the Sadducees who were, Matthew 22, the Sadducees who believed that there was no resurrection from the dead. You know what Jesus said to them? What did they do? Verse 29, Jesus said to them, you err, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. You know, Matthew is already a dent in their fellowship with God. They believe there is no resurrection from the dead. It's only a dent in their fellowship. If they really say, we hope you know that. If a believer believes that there is no resurrection from the dead, that is already affected his or our fellowship with God. Hope you know that. It has already affected his fellowship with God. There is no resurrection from the dead. Okay, follow me. So you can't stop God above the world. And Jesus said to them, you err not knowing the scripture. So that means information about the scriptures is important. You need to have not just anyhow information about the word of God. You need to have precise and accurate knowledge. And that is why in Philemon 4:6, Paul will say that the communication of your faith will become effectual. By the acknowledging, that is precise and accurate knowledge. Hope you're following me. Precise and accurate knowledge. So, now in coming to God, I'm telling you of every good thing which is in you in Christ. In you in Christ. So, precise and accurate knowledge is vital. This is that the communication of your faith will become effectual. Effectual there will be operational. This is that, and it is to your knowledge. So you can't serve God with you can't serve God effectively without a precise knowledge of Him. You'll be effective in your service. Hallelujah. You'll be effective in your service. Hallelujah. And look at, are there believers today who believe God usually tempts them? Yes. I've seen people separately that will tell you that God actually gave them sickness and they will be humble. How can you say that? Say God is actually tempting me to test my faith. No! The same way he tested Abraham's faith. Did you see where they are getting it from? They are getting it from Abraham. Did you see that? They are getting it from Abraham. Oh, God tested Abraham's faith, so God is testing my faith. No! Because, and why would they think such? It's not studied well. If they read James 1 quickly. James says, quickly, let's go to James. James 1, look at this.
13. He said, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he anyone.
Is that God himself? So when you get to James and you see this, duty is upon you that you have to go back and read Abraham. Do you see that? Do you see that? That means if God doesn't tell, that means I have to know what happened to Abraham. And then when you get back to reread and you read intelligently, you discover God didn't send Abraham. God actually proved it. Hallelujah. Amen. God proved it. Hallelujah. And then you discover the Abraham scenario, God proving him was how he taught Isaac. He was actually a teaching class. Amen. So God is tempting them. No. When the son asked him, Father, here is the dish. Let me put it in our place. Father, here is the gas cooker. Here is the matches. Here is the gas. Where is the lamp? Didn't that? Where is the lamp? You know, when you know the teaching class, the young, I mean, Abraham didn't say, oh, God wants to test me to see if I will kill you. No! If I can kill you, no! What did he do? He said, the Lord himself will provide. That the Hebrew will put it as like this. The Hebrew is like this. Said, the Lord will provide himself as the lamb. So how will God provide himself as the lamb? So that you would know that it's actually a teaching class. You see that? Amen. God himself, God provided himself as a lamb. And now, when he tied Isaac, you know, Isaac did not go to the teaching class. You know, Isaac has not decided that he will be shouting, yes, sir, help, right? For the division. He tied him and put it. Right? Hallelujah. And he was describing to Isaac, how do you go by yourself? How God will be the sacrifice by himself? He said, no, you want to strike him. The writer of Hebrews said he will see thee in the figure. It's a teaching class. Okay, but look at me. That means you have to read it again and see what the writer was communicating to you. Hallelujah. Amen. So do not err. He says it again, do not err. So where would you err? He said you err not knowing the scriptures. So that means one could err in its understanding of scriptures. And that will seriously affect your service to the Lord. And it's everybody. Remember, I'm taking you on the Christian faith and material wealth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That leaves us with, you can't serve God above your knowledge of Him. Hallelujah. You can't. Many times you have people who get angry with God. You know that there are people who are angry with God. And some people get so frustrated for unnecessary things. They get so frustrated with themselves, not with God. Because God is just looking at them. Let me shock you. Remember how you twist and turn scriptures. God is just looking at them. You can rob an earthly man. You can't rob God. Yes, so what did he tell you? Don't you get frustrated with God? Don't you get frustrated with the faith? And then what is all this? And the reason why people get to that point is because they don't know what the faith is about. And it's very vital. They don't know what the Christian faith is about. Hallelujah. They don't know. Some people think they know, but they don't. Okay, they don't. Some people are not based on your promise. That's the only promise. They stand on your promise. What promise? And he that find a wife, find a good thing, and tell them about the Lord. On your promise. How? I can tell you a favor. Who? You shouldn't use those kind of things. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
So there are people who got married and they did. A week after they got married, husband and wife lost their job. And then I in the banking sector. I've been. A week after they got married, lost their job. Ah, where is the favor now?
So no, on that promise. Which promise? So maybe that people get so much frustrated
or get so much
angry with God. Have you ever noticed that I'm angry with God? I'm not gonna laugh at them. Why are you angry with God? Angry with God. Is the Christian faith people worry? Can you say that? Hey, because of what the Bible says. What did the Bible say? Or what did the Bible say that you thought it said?
Some people have that kind of mindset.
They believe the Bible is saying this, but that's not what God is saying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, and they get angry because of things they thought God promised. And God never promised it. God never promised it. God never did. Hallelujah. God never did. There are a lot of things like that.
He would do things so.
When you get born again, you will never suffer again. You will never face persecution. It's a life of abundance. And then get born again because of abundance. 1 week after I get saved, you're now broke. Are you sure I'm really born again? And God, imagine you are now, you have your body, you step upon snake and scorpion, and we walk on the end. Now get saved. And 1 week after, you found yourself in Novena University where they worship snake. And I wake up and see snake on the bed. And you're supposed to, when you wake up and see snake on the bed, you're supposed to bow to the snake like this. I said, no, I will step up. I can't kill the snake. You know the community will kill you. He knows what I'm talking about. Don't get that snake. You do now. So that's why I kill community snake. Ha! I don't know. Bible says, I mean, they will not steal, and God will be looking. Because God didn't promise you to step upon snake, that snake. He said, but God raised your word. Yes! You know, like the brother who was not speaking in tongues and went to a computer village. He had to go and buy a pouch. From going to buy a pouch, he now saw a cheap phone, BlackBerry. He was so greedy in tongues, you know. On Sunday, that was on Sunday, we had service. He went to a computer village to buy a phone on Sunday. Who do you want to see? You tell me. You know, remember those guys that were showing food. Abba. You see BlackBerry of 100,000. They're showing you for 10,000. Ah! They're showing you for 20,000. I say, my God. Shout out. I say, I'll just... That brother. Then I showed him food. I don't give you fufu. The man came to service. Then I said, I'm going to fall off. You follow up that period, where's the Bible? He was asking, I said, Pastor, I was outside getting prepared to enter in for service. He said, I want to see that here. What is it? He said, I spoke in tongues this morning. I was good to go down there, I was speaking in tongues. I said, yes. Sir, with the Holy Ghost, the greater one that is in me, sir, there is so many football. Did God promise you that? Then they told me, say, how can I? Tongue talking. No, the tongue talking. Tongue talking. Me, with the Holy Ghost, they gave me football. Pastor! And he was disappointed with God. So you have to see that. Say, you know, you have to see that he was disappointed with God. Say, how can God be alive and they gave me football?
You can only be frustrated because you are thanking on a promise that God never promised. Oh, you're hearing me. Amen. You can be. Can you believe that? And that's why it's very vital you know the word of God. Amen. Amen. What is the Christian faith about? So one shall come.
When they shall come.
So one of you will put the towers of life. Two of you 10,000.
And I need to go and do business. We have one branch. It's one branch to take a towel. You know where to grow.
So now open two branches back. You can run with the man stove for the day for that. That's the one of which have chased 1,000, 2,000. If you think it's business, think it is. No, you think you are telling him in Bible.
10,000 to fly.
Think it's purple life.
Amen. Amen.
Someone was disappointed when Santos went down.
People were very disappointed. Very disappointed.
Yeah, I think she had this one.
Very disappointed. He came to me and said, "Sir, I don't understand." I said, "He said, well, sir, Pastor Wisdom is lazy." I said, "Yes." He said, "Wisdom the Holy Ghost." He said, "Sir, Pastor Wisdom does the work." I said, "Yes." I said, "Yes." He said, "And the scandal." I said, "Yes." Pastor Wisdom was there. I didn't go down to tell the person the other thing that Pastor Wisdom even prayed for you when they gave you lamba. He went to fasting for lamba. The man of God was he fasted. That is genuinity. He fasted for lamba.
You know what is lamba?
He was lamba. Like lamba. Yeah? He was lamba. He showed me. I asked him, you know, like I'm very critical. I'm very critical, but I asked him what I think of. This guy, is he born again? He said, sir, he's from a Christian background. In fact, his father, I said, oh, you know. He can't use my pastor. He said, sir. I said, does he speak his own? I said, sir, his father is from a, she told me he was from a family of priests. He wrote a book for him. His heart was in the business. But the business went down. One of you shall put 1,000. Two of you. You will say, imagine someone that is not even in the hem of affairs. Okay, then now also imagine he doesn't know the word and he's not MD. You know, he's not on the basis of MD. What I do, nothing dies in my hand. And you don't know anything about business. Business will not just die in your hand. The next generation of the business will crumble in your hand. Nothing dies in my hand. And then you make 1 million. For your first 1 million, we tell people to reinvest. We don't use 1.5 plus capital to go and buy G1 dollar. Is there nothing dying in my hand? I know how to multiply. Don't worry. What you will see will not be subtraction, it will be division. Everything will just divide in your hand. They know now, but at the time of God, have the wisdom. If you have the wisdom of God, we'll go to business. Don't listen. Amen. A young guy posted something online what time ago. We're going to look at some of this now as we go into it fully. But on the online a time ago, a young minister, and he said something like, we are receiving capacity, that Jesus received capacity in the place of the Holy Ghost to understand the scripture without going to school. He says you can in the place of prayer receive capacity for business. I said, care for yourself.
I will not invest.
You don't know, I said, imagine you enter a flight. Because business is always saying you lose. You enter a flight. And the pilot says, we are about to take off. My name is okay, Sammy Jeff. Because he's the prophet. And then it's Sammy Jeff, a member of St. Pavilion Church. I speak in tongues. I have the Holy Ghost. I walk with revelation knowledge. There's nothing in this world I have not achieved by the power of the Holy Ghost. This is the first time I'm going to be flying a plane. I didn't go to any pilot school. I acquired
my piloting skills in the realms of the spirit. I'm a spiritual man. So put on your seatbelt, about to take off the flight. Will you still sit in that plane before you say put on your seatbelt? Will you still sit? Hey, yourself, you want to live another life. You just live and say, sir, no, drive yourself. When you come back, you follow me. Yeah? And the first time, then, I have the Holy Ghost. I speak in tongues. When there's turbulence in the air, we all speak in tongues. No. Hope you're following me. Even you will not want to fly a plane. Even if the pilot went to the best school, and they tell you this is the first time of flight, you say, please wait. I just threw my transponder, so let me calm down. Hope you understand. I heard that they have flight training school. You have been flying for a while. Let me calm down, sorry, sir. And now there he is the number one captain. Not the assistant, not the co-pilot, so he's the pilot. And then the co-pilot is my student and teaching him. This is your first time. Continue, experiment. Isn't that? Say, no, don't need no fear. The Holy Ghost will lead us. When he leads you, come and carry me. Isn't that? Is there a writer? I had a conversation with someone yesterday on Bible interpretation. We just got talking on Bible interpretation. So we got a bit deep. Actually my brother. So we got talking and he doesn't say smart. Smart me today. In all this, will it take us to heaven? I just said, everything has said to you. You know, my bones are all weak. He said, obviously, what is the end? If heaven is not the goal. I got angry. Because, you know, when you all your bones, after all those, he said, in my head, the way he was vibing with me, I said, I'm going to win this guy tonight. So I'm just giving him war. You hear the thing, you want? Look at your body. Look at it. Damn you. You want to be critical. You want to... Not this much. I got that point. The head don't fool. I think so. Wait. What is the end of all these things? What do you know? Heaven! Heaven is the goal! I don't say, hey! You know, I was so weak! You know what I was doing? Before, when I was done doing this, I just carried the gamepad and threw it into his hand. You know what I told him? I know this. Heaven is not actually the goal. He was talking. No, he's not like... If maybe I'm not his brother like that, are you mad? Heaven is not the goal. That guy was shocked. Heaven what? What they told us when I was small? Heaven is not the goal? But you don't have to have any mentality of the people you have today, who tell you? They will tell you, the immediate presence is heaven! And question, just ask them one simple question. Then after heaven, what next? They don't know anything else. After heaven, what else? And they will go quiet. Everything just restart. Restart at that. Remember, I read something online yesterday. There's now a terrorism in the US. They now have a veterinary school where, and yes, their motto, where the people who do veterinary for those dogs and training school are purely atheists and non-Christians. And here's the idea. You know, those guys, those white guys, they love pets. They say, should in case the Christian gets raptured, what will be the fate of your animals? I think this is trouble in the world. I mean, this is trouble. So when you are gone, the animals will be well trained. That since they say yes, and then you know that some of those dog trains that people carry about, when the guys that are really into all those, it catches them, will kill them, will just deal with them, will make a mockery of them.
They said, all of them, that the atheists will die. Did you see that? Will die during that time. They didn't say anything about the animals now. Oh, I put to animals. So that means the earth will be healthier by animals. So let's start training the animals to be as intellectual as man, because the next world belongs to animals. I read it online, I was like, this is crazy. This is crazy. Hey, what do you get?
So I told him yesterday, I said, see, I could show you,
and I mentioned the amount of the years. I told him the century started. I told him, say, I could show you in the, all this thing about rapture, heaven, and the goal, started within the 13th, within the 15th century. I told him, started all this rapture thing, and
I told him that those of us in Roma, we're going to look at that as a Christian. So, and I told him how, I just told him, see, this is how the church got there. So he was like, I just trained this part. Everything I said to you, forget I see. Just because I never said anything to you, because you don't need foundation class. You need building class. Just don't worry.
Just cool the spirit down, please. Enjoy it.
Because you're doing the wrong one here. Amen. Heaven is the goal. And that affects their worship. Unity, it affects their worship. Then heaven is the goal. What will shock them is the fact that if you get back to Genesis, to the Old Testament, which we are going to see from next week, you see that heaven was not spoken of as a goal. It was spoken of as a reality that they had with them. It was not a goal. So even to the epistles, we're going to see to the epistles, nobody spoke as heaven as a goal. In fact, if you get to the epistles, you find less of the use of the word heaven, but you find more of the use of the word pneumatical. Spiritual, spirit. Because that's what it means. And if you find it that it is what the reality of the believer. So you find it that where we want to go, the goal. Even the children of Israel didn't have heaven as a goal. They had Canaan land. A land they want to go to, they don't have. And that was just a physical land to point to spiritual thing. Amen. So they didn't have goal, heaven is the goal. Amen. The heaven is the goal now. It's the goal now. So I don't, and that is how stupid some people can be. You say, I don't need all those Bible doctrine, I don't need all those Bible interpretation. Just be holy. Heaven. Would you think it's heaven is done? It's not that they will throw it away. Come on, stop it. Stop it. You become very vulnerable. People who say that are very vulnerable. Now I can cook up anything and put heaven at the end and then you buy it. Amen. You become very vulnerable. Because heaven, being the goal, was started up by some of those ministries that still are available to today. Those movements that still are available to today, heaven is the goal. Was it not in this same earth, now 100% Nigeria, this same earth, that was the time that around 27 or 2010, no, not 2010, around 27 or 28, they said one April 14 or 15, 1 year, like that the rapture was going to take place. One by one, friends will come there. And after we stayed all through the night, I can't believe it. I'm staying all through the night, I'm not still happening. I called my friend, I said, Sunday, are you still here? Say, yeah. Any number, are you still here? Say, yeah. Then I wrapped up, didn't happen. Say, I brought a rapture, didn't happen. Okay, let's see tomorrow morning. Let's see in the morning. But if it happens, and I hear the trumpet, remember I'll call you. If you hear the trumpet, you call me. Say, yeah? Say, yeah. Go now. For the next one we met, I say. So the guy now wrote something and said it was a mathematical error. Stop nonsense. Hallelujah. Heaven is the reality of the believer. Look at how the writer of Hebrew calls heaven. And the people was writing to us to say, we have come into Mount Zion. God is the city of the living God. He calls it the heavenly Jerusalem. If he didn't say we are going, no, say we have come. What we're calling it? Paul will call it, we have been translated from the kingdom of Daniel, the kingdom of his son. What is heaven? What we're calling it? That is
who we are. That is who we are. That's who we function from. Amen.
Amen. So that becomes very vital and germane that the believer knows the Christian faith. What is the Christian faith about? And that's what we're trying to answer. Hallelujah. Open with me. Okay. That's what we're trying to answer. Because if you don't understand what this is, many people, not us now, many people would just have a wrong approach to who God is.
Amen.
Some people, these are the basis upon which they got saved. And that was a very critical.
I know someone who got saved, who was in poverty, and was told if he gets saved, he will be rich. And he got saved, he's not still rich. In fact, he now got worse. He now left where he was staying. And he was still able to pay rent before he got saved. Now he's not staying in church. He can't pay rent. He can't afford. So what is the promises of God? But when they get to that stage, they don't start telling them, you know, God is testing your faith. What kind of nonsense is that? Don't start cooking up lies upon lies. God is trying to test you. God is trying to see how it can be. Giving them fake hope. Fake hope.
Hallelujah. Fake hope. Some people got born again on the wrong premise. And these, some people got born again. I said on the wrong premise, yeah? Some people got born again, got saved on a very, very shallow water. Yeah. And this could lead to people being false brethren. You could have false brethren. Some people are false brethren. False. And it's very critical. God will have such people in our world today. Paul had to contend with false brethren in his day. Paul. In Acts 15, quickly what to Acts 15. Paul had to. As we get into this teaching, you see how critical it is that we study along this line. Because it becomes very critical.
Study across this line. Someone in my office said something. He said, "You don't think God is God exists?" I said, "Why did you say so?" He said, "If God exists, of all jobs that are in Nigeria, it's not a finance job that I got." Oh, I laughed. Is that what he said? He said, "If God exists, how you say that?"
If you ask me, is he born again? He'll tell you that I used to be born again. He'll tell you that. He'll tell you that I used to be born again. But he got born again on the premise that he was going to have the best job. Maybe was got born again on the premise that he's going to work in Chevron. That was all the jobs. Why microfinance? There's somebody that is TV player, but there's only microfinance that called him. And there's only microfinance that needed to employ. They did the others didn't find your CV interesting. If they did, they would have called you. They know why microfinance man. Well, that joke. You know, that's critical. They got lost me. Why did they give that to me in USA? So someone would say, God's land. God's own land. That's a big lie. Amen.
Why did they give it to me? In Germany. Why Nigeria? Oh, you should have also asked, why did they give it to you in Borno?
Stop talking nonsense. Amen. It was very critical. And that is because a lot of people don't know what the Christian faith is about.
Hallelujah.
Look at Paul. Acts 15. Paul! The uncertain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren. Look at what they taught. And said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. This is wrong. Oh, wrong, God.
The except ye be circumcised, physical. Say you cannot be saved. What about that? What did I tell you at first? throwing a dark shade on their salvation. That you must get circumcised first before you are truly saved. That's not true. This is very obvious. You know, you today can say, ah, this is false doctrine, right? But we're going to get to something else. But why would they say that? Remember, who are they? Certain men from where? From where? From where? Okay, I thought I heard Korea. From Judea. Amen? From Judea. So that means they still held on to their culture. Amen? They still held on to the Judaizing culture of circumcision. So they try to mix it. How do you have such kind of funny mixtures? You cannot be saved.
What about you, baby? Some people today,
what can you place that on today? Is it church or, let me not say the church of today. What can you place that on in our world today? In terms of people preaching some things on salvation. You tell yourself you are not baptized with water. Right? Right? Since you don't have water baptism, you cannot be saved. That's for people to say that. And I used to say something like that before, that water baptism is an open declaration of your inward, it's an open declaration that you must have to go through water baptism. If not, Jesus says, whoever that denies me in front of the world, I will deny him in front of my Father. So when you are doing water baptism, was the whole world there?
Amen. Amen. So, is there a writer? Hallelujah. Amen. So, they had false brethren. Look at it. And when, therefore, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputes and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about the question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through. Let's go down. Verse 4. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared to them all things that God has done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed. Now, at this point, we now have some Pharisees who are now saved, right? Which believed, and they see, remember the Pharisees still held on to the doctrines of Moses, right? Now when I talk about the doctrines of Moses, not about the teachings of Moses now, but the customs, we are going to see that shortly. Amen. They still carry the customs. Were they different from the settlement of Judea? No. Hallelujah. They still have some of those Mosaic culture. Let me call it Mosaic culture. But for the sake of this, let's look at it as Moses culture. I would not want to call it Moses culture, because it wasn't Moses culture. Some of the practices that they had, that Moses gave to them, right? They still had it as symbols. They still held on to it. Amen. Remember, those are symbols to point to the Messiah. Now the Messiah has come, he's supposed to drop those symbols, right? Because he's the essence of those things they had in figures. But they still held on to it. They still did. Now, where are we? Okay, believe saying that it is needful to circumcise them. Right? Come on, that is needful then. That it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Isn't that very soft? They say, oh, they should circumcise them. Also, they should keep the law of Moses. And what did they call law of Moses? The same ordinance that were figures. Isn't that? We're going to get to see that. Isn't it? Oh. This is more soft. You say, oh, no, it's good you circumcise. That is like, it's good you do circumcision, man, it might not be vital. But you should keep the law of Moses, very vital. Do that. Soft too? But yes, the same thing. Okay, follow me. The same thing with what you were fighting before. The same thing. Hallelujah. There we go. There we go. And we saw when the Pharisees and the priests began to get saved, Acts 6 from verse 7, certain of the priests were obedient to the faith. So that means when they got saved, they still carried those, their cultures, into salvation. I mean, into Christianity. They say bluffing.
I think into salvation. That's cool.
There is no coming. Hallelujah. You know, the protected thing into salvation or to salvation. All of that culture. They say, "How do I go?" But you now start doing harvest in church, bazaar in church. Bazaar you do when you're doing closing here. Going. No, you're not doing bazaar in church. If you want it to go, it's no. We take Jesus for let's carry some other things. Miss culture. Do bazaar. Do harvest. Father, children, mother, uncle, harvest. What again do they do? Culture day. Bring it to church. New Year festival in church. How about they just do? What's going to do at the Korodu? Oro for Christ. Let's do Oro in church too. Stop saying that. So things shouldn't do.
Yeah. So Oro. But our church is doing Oro. Oro festival in church. What nonsense stuff is that?
Amen. But now what these guys are doing? In fact, you will be surprised in chapter 21 because this issue was not properly resolved. In chapter 21 verses 21, chapter 21 verse 21, these same guys were the same people that took up Paul and handed him over to the king. In fact, they stoned Paul. And they are believers. Can you hear me? They are what? Believers. Look at verse 21. It says, and they are informed of thee that thou teachest the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. You see that? Hallelujah. Verse 24. Then make the other to purify himself and keep himself okay, and this is in verse 27. Verse 28, crying out. I'm just trying to jump, but just read it all. Men of Israel, help. This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place. And further brought Greeks into the temple and have polluted this holy place. Amen. Amen. 30, they drew Paul. 31, they went about to kill him.
Different set of people. Christians! What is that? We don't want it, guys. Christians. Why? Falsehood.
Wrong premise. Wrong interpretation of scriptures. Amen. Wrong interpretation of scriptures.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What Jesus said, the time will come when men will kill you, draw you out of the temple, and kill you. They say you are doing service to God. We're not talking about to God. This is an example.
Falsehood. They are called false brethren in scriptures. False brethren. Hallelujah. False brethren. So that means right from when you minister Christ to an unbeliever, it is vital. I'm saying it to us. It is vital. You teach the truth of God's word. It is vital. Because a breed of a false believer. Falsehood. Can cause havoc. Oh, in this teaching we'll go through some of those things.
We'll go through some of it to see what the Christian faith is really, really all about.
I begin to close. Even if I didn't get to where I'm supposed to get to today. Hallelujah. You have to preach the right thing. But don't teach the right thing. It breeds hostility against the truth. It is already falsehood. It breeds hostility against the truth.
compose that holy yet. Hold your staff. Don't want to fight.
And when you are fighting, okay, they are defending God. We're going to get to see that.
Hallelujah. We're going to get to see that. Are you supposed to defend? Are you supposed to fight for God?
they are defending God.
Some people say, I cannot serve a God who cannot pay my debts. And I love the response of Pastor Chris or Philemon. He said, why not just carve it? And just, don't call him God, just call him Shango. Carve it. Let's call him Shango yourself. Can you say that? Can't serve God, cannot pay my debts. Man naturally is built to seek after God. And at the same time, he tries to serve his belly. Now that service to his belly is actually that missing character of God in him. Hallelujah. That's a missing character of God. So he tries as much as he can to serve his belly. Because he feels he can't find God around physically with his optical eye. So he tries to feed his belly. That is to say, man, naturally outside God, has this inward mechanism to be selfish one way or the other. And that is that emptiness. Selfish. And when I'm bringing it into Christian, selfish. Is there someone who gets into marriage? And get married, aren't you? Why do you want to marry? I want someone that will be cooking for me. I'll have it. Darling. Me. What are you bringing? Nothing. it's my season of rest. Don't worry. Some people is Nollywood. Nothing. I'm going to get married that everything will be done for you. No. Selfishness. And then you bring it into Christianity. Not knowing what the Christian faith is about. They bring it. They're looking for a God who will do everything for them. I remember one time like that. I was reading a book by Pastor Christopher Kinnaman, The Seven Spirit of God. And he popped up stopped back. Without reading the book, he said that. What is all I say? Ah, this is the seventh spirit of God. By Pastor Christopher Kinnaman. This is way back 26 or 27. I can't really place it here now. He says, wow. He has already. He said, hope. And that word struck. He said, I hope this is not those kind of books that tries to tell you what the Holy Ghost should do for you. Because you shouldn't be looking out for what the Holy Ghost should do for you. You should be looking out for what you do for him. That struck. He said it innocently. He has not read the book. So he just, I said, well, that's not what the book is about. How do I put it? It's not what the book is about. And I made him buy the book to read. Amen. That's not what the book is about. But that word struck. Hope is not those books that try to tell you what the Holy Ghost should do for you. All you know is what God should do for you. I want to use God as a mechanism to becoming wealthy, to having fame. Some people, their problem is fame. They've not been able to deal with it. They've not been able to deal with it. And you must learn to deal with it. Hallelujah. It's not for fame. It's about God. The Christian faith is not about you. But let's just see that. We're going to see all this now. So the Christian faith is not about you. The Christian faith is about God. It's about him. It's about his task. It's about his word. I will see all this as we get into this teaching. Amen. Learn something tonight?